Kort boodskapie. Hooplik bly kort. Ja. Maar jy sê dis regtig amazing die feit dat God se glorie oral is, né? Dis reg oor die hele aarde. Die engele sing dit so. En soos hulle verby hom vlieg sê Jesegiel, dan sing hulle so verby hom en hulle hou hulle gesig toe as hulle verby hom kom. Hulle sê holy, holy, holy is the God, Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And for us, it's really difficult to understand that the whole earth is full of his glory. I mean, God is in Japan also. And so we have a tendency to pray that God, we invite you here and you must come here. But God's already there. He's already waiting there for us. It's just our inability to see him, our inability to see Christ. And God has been taking me on a trip the last 3 months on the last days. And I was just thinking on the last days, I'm lying actually, since last year, October, November. But this is the first time that I'll be talking about the last days. And so much of what I will be sharing this morning will be towards Christians. In other words, believers that said we are following Christ. So this morning, I'm talking to you. And it's a really challenging message. I think it's something that we tend to deny. And for starters, I'm in denial about it. It's not that I don't have faith in it. It's just so difficult to adjust and to understand in what I'm seeing happening. And you'll catch my drift as we go on. But let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Challenging scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name performed miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, Jesus is talking to Christians here. He's not talking to people that doesn't know him. He's talking to Christians. And so what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount is that your verbal confession of me doesn't mean that you're a Christian. And so if we go to verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what Jesus is saying, you know my name, you know how to pronounce my name. You know how to spell Lord. You know how to spell Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you will enter the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus is talking about here is a hypocritical spirit. In other words, you say something with your mouth, but you don't mean it with your heart. Jy sê iets met jou mond, maar jy bedoel dit nie regtig in jou hartie. And so this was a shocker for so many people because there were so many religious people. And I was thinking about this, you know. And especially in small towns, if you look like Wust and you take Robertson and Russell, it's really tradition to go to church on Christmas. And it's a tradition to go to church on Easter. And it's a tradition to go to church on the 31st of December. And what God has just been challenging me about, what has changed after that? Het daar enig iets verander? Na dit. Or was it nog maar die same old, same old? And it's challenging if you look at the last days when Jesus is talking here. And if you read verse 22, many will say to me on that day. Now, it seems not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, but Father, is it? But many will say to me on that day, verse 22, can we quickly go there? I just want to say to you, many will say to me on that day. Now, it seems that Jesus is not gracious, but he's really gracious. Because Jesus is only denying and disowning self-professing Christians on that day. All of us will have a chance until that day to see God's grace. But that day, no more grace. Now, there's a lot of people preaching grace now, and I agree with them. But it's wrong just to talk about God's grace and God's love. But you don't talk to people about the other side of God's grace and the other side of God's love. And what is interesting in what Jesus is saying there, a spectacular ministry. A spectacular ministry. In other words, driving out demons and prophecy. It doesn't make you a Christian. Spectacular ministry doesn't make you a believer in Christ. Nor does spectacular miracles make you a believer in Christ. Now that is challenging what Jesus is saying. So you're either driving out demons and prophesying by the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're casting out demons by means of demons, which is a sermon in its own, or some people are just faking it. It's a setup. People are just faking it. And it's a scary thought. Jesus is clear. And the reason Jesus says not everybody that will enter is because not everybody is doing my Father's will. Now it's a sobering thought, huh? And the reason why not everybody is doing God's will, Jesus gives the answer in verse 23. Can we go to the next? And then I will declare to me, can we go to the next slide, please? No, back? Thanks. Back, just back. There's the two reasons. Jesus says, I never knew you. And then the other reason why people are not doing God's will is because of lawlessness. In other words, Jesus is doing something. Now, this is really scary for me. Having Jesus looking you in the eye and saying, I never knew you. I never knew you. And it's not a debate. Jesus is looking these guys in the eye. And Jesus says, I never knew you. That is the one reason why people are not doing God's will, because they never knew God. Jesus. And the second reason is you practice lawlessness. So the two reasons why Jesus denies entrance into the kingdom is he never knew people and they practice lawlessness. So we are talking this morning about God's will. And so now we're going to talk about the two enemies of God's will. The first one is what Jesus is saying, I never knew you. John chapter 17 verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. It's again apparent in the scripture that Jesus is saying, if you want eternal life, then you must know me. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want eternal life, you must have a relationship with me. You can't have academic knowledge about me. Akademiese inligting oor wie ek is. Jesus is now. And he talks of that place of intimacy. Jesus wants intimacy with us. It's so apparent here. And Jesus is saying to the believers in that day, look here, you lacked intimacy with me. In other words, you weren't obedient to scripture. But now here's the other thing, which so many people grapple and struggle with. Jesus is saying, you must be obedient to my voice. In other words, that still small voice that speaks to you. And then you acknowledge, God, this is you speaking, and God, then I'll do what you're saying. Obedience to his voice. And Jesus says, there was never that intimacy with me. It was always you speaking, but you never listened to me when I spoke to you. And that is why I can righteously judge and say that I never knew you. You thought you knew me, but it wasn't me. I never knew you because you never listened to what I was saying. And you know why is this such a difficult thing? Because so many people, they've made an allegiance within their heart to another God a long time. I can promise you this. I've been seeing this in the body of Christ. So many people, You try to counsel them and you try to talk to them, but you don't get through to them. They never change, they stay the same. And so many people talk to me about that, and all that I'm telling people is, look here, you bow the knee to God. Bow the knee to Him. You're a Christian. You bow the knee. If you can't bow the knee to Him, then I'm leaving you with your demons. I can do nothing for you. You've made an allegiance in your heart to a figment of your imagination, a God, another God. But I can tell you now, and it's really troubling to see this happening more and more. Self-confessing Christians saying things that sounds Christian-like, but if you talk about the intimacy with God. So, friendship. Jesus says, I call you friends. But now friendship is not a gift. Sonship is a gift. In other words, when you come to Jesus Christ, you're a son, and that is sonship. But now Jesus says, after that, I want to call you a friend. Now, friendship is not a gift for all. Friendship comes from intimacy with Jesus. And it develops because of your obedience to His word. Obedience out of love. And relationship lies at the heart of any kingdom, especially God's kingdom. Ons, ek wil dit vir julle onomwonde stel. As daar nie verhouding is met Jesus nie, as daar nie verhouding is met Jesus se liggaam, you see, there's so many people walking, they don't want to belong to a church. They're always there on the outskirts, saying negative things about the church and why they don't belong to church. And no, I'm church hopping. Then I'm with this church, then I visit that church. And oh, the Holy Spirit is flowing. I can tell you now, that's a lustful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ's church. It's a lustful relationship with the body of Christ. You can't have a relationship. That's not a relationship. That is a shopping mall. Tomorrow I'll be going to Cape Gate, and then after that I'll go to Shofar, and then after that I'll go to Christen Gemeente. You must connect yourself with the body of believers where you will have relationship, because Jesus and God does nothing outside of relationship. God doen niks buite verhouding. As ek die verhouding met God het, die dag gaan hy nie vir my vriend noem nie. Was ek 'n verbyloper. Ek is so hier op en hier af, maar ek maak nie tyd vir hom nie. And so, the profession of who Christ is will be tested on your obedience and your love. And so, the second reason, I just want to shed light on it in the last days, Matthew chapter 24 verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. And because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. Interesting statement that Jesus is making. There's a growing cold of love in Christians' lives. I see it, it's evident. You know I see it. They don't focus on Jesus and the lost anymore. They always focus on issues. Hulle het 'n issue met dit, en hulle het 'n issue met dat, en hulle het 'n issue met dit. And I can tell you now, try to counsel them. You'll get nowhere. I've been learning this now for the past 3-4 years. And that is why I'm saying I'm in denial. Ek wil nie glo dat dit met goeie Christen mense gebeur nie. Maar dit is besig om te gebeur. Nou, maak 'n Blackberry geraas. En ons ken al hy geluid, nê? Klink in Blackberry. Maar, julle weet, nou moet ek sit en ek moet nou sê, Here, ek praat nou 3 jaar oor dieselfde probleem met die broer. Ons kom nêrens nie. Of die suster. Kom, ons gebruik maar 'n bietjie die suster, want dit bly mos die broer. Here, dit verander nie. Ouens, ek praat met Christene nou, hoor. Hoor my nou mooi. Nou moet ons sit en in het bly dieselfde ding. In die oogies wikkel so in die oogies, maar die oogies bly slim. Want die oogies het altyd 'n antwoord. Maar nou die antwoord kom nooit tot op 'n punt uit waar 'n oplossing is. En nou begin ek die tendens mooi te sien, want wat eintlik moet gebeur, die knie moet gebuig word. Maar nou die knie kan nie gebuig word voor Jesus nie, want daar is te veel om prys te gee. Maar nou dis goeie mense. Jy sal elke naweek met hulle wil braai. Jy sal elke naweek met hulle wil mol toe gaan. Dis nice mense. But now Jesus is just saying, look, I'll deny you. You can be nice and all loving. But if you don't have a relationship with me, then I'll deny you and I'll disown you. So, lawlessness is a denial or rejection of the law. It is in the spirit of self-will and resistance to God. Now, let me just explain this to you. It's not, there's sin in my life, I'm struggling with sin, but I do want to get better. And I grow. Ek praat nie daarvan as jy groei en jy maak 'n foutjie nie. Ek praat van 'n doelbewuste teenstand teen God gereeld elke dag wat nie die knie wil buig nie. Ek praat van dit. It's going to be more difficult to minister to Christians in the last days. God just dropped it in my spirit about a month ago. Carlos is going to be more difficult to minister to Christians in these last days. Dat gaan moeilik wees. Ek sê vir julle nou. Because it's that spirit of self-will. And we live as people with our own ideas superior to God's ideas. And it's really simple. God demands certain stuff of us. He'll never enforce his will, but there's certain stuff that God will demand of us. And you can decide, do I want to prefer this or not? Now, the opposite of lawlessness. Now, what people try to do when there's lawlessness, they get legalistic. Nou gooi hulle so klomp reëls. Ons moet nie dit doen nie, en ons moet nie daai doen nie, ons moet nie die doen nie. Dat gaan ook nie help nie. En as dit is weer met 'n klomp reëls wat ons nie kan nakom nie. And so right in the middle between lawlessness and religion is relationship. And so people are the both extremes, and that is why Jesus is saying, I never knew you. You're not in the middle. You're either legalistic and you have all these laws, but you don't know me. Or you're just blatantly out lawless. You don't want to know me. And so I'm going to start this morning with the keys of a good confession. It starts with obedience. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 verse 46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? 1 John chapter 2 verse 17, the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. It's obedience. But now what I'm learning from Jesus and from God now, it's not mechanical obedience. Nie meganiese gehoorsaamheid, ek moet dit doen en ek moet dit, daar gaat ons legalism. It's obedience as unto worship. Gehoorsaamheid as aanbidding. Dit is 'n plesier vir jou om dit te doen wat hy van jou verwag. Al bring het jou in alle jou. Dit is 'n plesier om dit te doen wat hy van jou verwag, al bring het vir jou in alle jou. As jy die enigste een is wat so 'n seer vinger uitstaan, wat sê dis die God se wil vir die situasie nie, en almal kyk jou met snaakse oë aan, en hulle verwerp jou. Obedience is the key. Where there's no obedience, there's lawlessness. Does it make sense? As hy nie gehoorsaam is, dan is hy wetteloosheid. Lawlessness. The second one is acknowledging your sin. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 to 10 says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Look at what Proverbs chapter 12 verse 22 says. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Is his delight. It's so beautiful. But you know what? If there's one thing that quenches the relationship with the Holy Spirit, it's our mouths. And lying. Oef, ek sal vir jou sê, 'n mens se mond jaag die teenwoordigheid van die Heilige Gees myle van ons af weg. Wanneer is hy in beheer? You see, where there's lawlessness, there's no control of the mouth. Where there's lawlessness, there's no control of the mouth. It's an unbridled thing that just speaks out of the evil. And when you talk to people, and nowadays I've talked to so many people, when they talk to you, when you leave them, you feel wounded. As jy klaar met hulle gepraat is, voel jy so gewond. Jy voel verkragtig binne. Van 'n seer. I can tell you now, that person's mouth is not in control. Daai een se mond is nie binne beheer nie. Ek kan dit maar vir julle onomwonde sê. Ek het lank hieroor gebid en gedink, Here, is dit so? Dit is so. Mense wat jou gewond laat. Lying. And just another thing that I've been seeing. Now in the kingdom, as I've been praying this through. When you have sensitive information, the juicy tidbits, jy het dit daar by jou, and you shared with people to get them on your side, now that's evil. That's evil. It's really evil. When you share sensitive information with people to get them on your side, that's evil. When you share sensitive information with this person, just to let that person know, look, ek, jy's my homie. Ek vertel dit vir jou, maar ek vertel dit nie vir hulle nie. That's evil. You're bringing division between two brothers because he thinks now he's more important than her. It's evil. So, ander saak as ons nou in terme van funksionaliteit praat, ek gaan met my rekenmeester my geldsaake bespreek, maar nie noodwendig met my mechaniekie. Dis maak ons nou sin. Hoekom moet die mechaniek nou hoor van my geldsaake? Ek kan ons met my ek praat nie daarvan nie. Ek praat van daai plek waar ek informatie inkleer sodat dit my pas. And half a truth is a lie. It's a blatant lie. If you tell half a truth, and the challenge that I've been working through now for so long, God gives me sensitive information. So now I have to talk to people. Now I talk to them. Now I tell them, look here, my brother, this thing that you're doing, it's wrong, it's causing so much damage. Then people say, okay, yeah, I feel. But now after a while, you see, okay, they're not really working this thing through. But now the contrary is happening. The people that you talk about, you want to help them, now they spread bad rumors about you. Give it now, like Jesus is far in his stuck. So now you sit with this dilemma. Moet ek nou die must I call a spade a spade now? Moet ek nou die hele ding net die oopvlek, and then God tells me no. You keep your mouth shut. Now that's hard. Wanneer jy langs mense staan, wat jy weet nonsens van jou praat. Now dis hard. En jy moet niks sê nie. Die Here sê jy moet jou mond hou. Nou moet ek en my vrou ons mond hou vir 2-3 jaar. You just keep your mouth shut because God says, I'll vindicate you. Now that's tough. When God says that he will vindicate you. Van nou moet jy terugstaan en sê, Here, kan ek maar nie nou sê nie. Nee. Jy sê niks. En sê, God, but they're saying malicious stuff. They're taking pot shots at me, Lord. They're saying things that's not true. God, can't I just say something now? You wait till I vindicate you. And so if I have to open my mouth at the wrong time, that will also be evil. Because the Holy Spirit is at work and I can quench it with my mouth. Oh, guys, I can tell you stories that I've been praying through with God in these times. But these are the characteristics of these times. So lying can be an act of malice. Lying can also be an act of a dead conscience. Ek gee net nie meer om ek lieg sonder my oogies te knip. Nee, ek het nooit dit gedoen nie. People just do it. Christians, ek praat nie nou van mense daar buiten nie. Mense, ek braai enige tyd met die ou. Hulle kan my knope vloek en die drank afvloei en hulle kan leens vertel, ek hang met hulle. Maar het is moeilik om met die broer om die vuur te staan. Hy het sy hart vir die Here gegee 18 Mei 1993. Maar die man belieg, Tienus, hy belieg jou in die bos in, hy lieg jou hier uit die bos uit. En hy beswadder jou naam, en hy wil jou nooi vir 'n braai, maar soos die tsoppies omgaan, jy weet wat die man van jou sê, en nou moet jy niks sê, nie, jy weet, dis taf. It's really tough. But now, you see, until God releases you to speak, then you speak, then you go in, then you say, look, your brother, what you're busy with. And I'm going to preach on this. The moral custodianship of leadership. Wat noem hulle dit? Sedebewakers. Waar kerk en kerkleiers morele sedebewakers is, om vast te vat dit wat verkeerd is, want dis die ander kant van God se liefde wat ons nog moet sien. En ek gaan hier oor praat, want het skrik soveel mense af. Hulle kan nie dink dat Jesus seker goedjie sal doen nie. Ek weet, Ethan, wil jy nie die water daar by jou? Net die afval, die man. Asseblief. Ek weet, het is vir mense skokkend om te dink, Jesus het dit doen. Ek het as prins gedoen, want ek weet het gaan skok registreer, maar dis precies wat Jesus gedoen het, toe hy in die tempel gekom het. Oos dink, hy het so gemaak, jylle is besig om van my pa se huis, een skelm huisie te maak, af met die gehalkies. Jesus het nie dit gedoen. It's called God's zeal for his house, sy ywer vir sy huis, om sy huis suiwer te hou. En dis die ander ding wat ons gaan oorpraat. But you see, when Jesus starts exposing, he exposes it. And there's times when they talk to Jesus, then they say, are you the Son of God? Then Jesus says nothing. He's going to be crucified. He keeps his mouth shut. It's great power within control. It's called meekness. Zeal in control. Nie Petrus kap oore af. Is nie nou tyd om oore af te kap. Uit die vlees uit operate. You see, quenching those words. And then the last one, there will be end of here. You must have an understanding of authority if you want to be intimate with God. If you want to be intimate with God, you must be obedient. You must know when to say what with your mouth. And then you must have an understanding of authority. Where there's no understanding of authority, there's lawlessness. As hy nie verstaan van gesag is en gesagstrukture nie, dan is hy wetteloosheid. Dis moes nou het maak sin nie. Luke chapter 7 verse 1 to 8. When he had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum and a centurion's slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him to come and save the life of his slave. When they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this to him. For he loves our nation, and it was he who built us our synagogue. Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Hoor hoe prachtig praat hy kind daar. For this reason, sy is die enigste wat opgewonde is oor my preek. Prys vir haar, vir Kylie. Nee, ja. For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, another come. But this centurion, he had understanding of authority. That is why he could be intimate with Jesus. I say, Jesus, I know you can never be in authority if you're not under authority. So what he's saying, Jesus, you don't have to come and heal my son. Just say the word, you're a man of authority. I know you're Jesus. That is why I'm submitting under you. You don't have to come to my house. And it's the most amazing thing. Jesus never lays hands on the child. And Jesus never goes to the home. That child is healed. Now the servant is healed immediately, instantaneously, because of a man that has an understanding of authority. Iemand wat 'n verstaan van gesag het. Kan ons net opgaan, kan ons net eers daai weghaal daar, ons gaan nou daaroor praat. Maar dis so ontsettend belangrik, julle. If you want to approach God with confidence, then you must have an understanding of authority. You will never be able. You see, this centurion, he wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman leader. He understood authority, and that's why he could go with confidence and say, in confidence, I know you can heal my son, my slave, to speak the word. I'm under authority. So, where lawlessness abounds, there's no one understanding authority. Now, waar's Geraldo? Hy het nou net hier gesit. Maar nou, hy het nou iets net gesê, baie interessant, toe praat ons nou hier achter, oor hoe die moslimryk nou besig is om uitgelig te word. Gaddafi, oral in die wêreld is daar nou mense wat in opstand kom teen moslim diktators. Is dit so nie? Nee, julle sien hom mos. But now, it's a blessing to see that is happening, but the way it's been happening, it's happening in the spirit of lawlessness. Daar's 'n wetteloosheid nou, julle. En is een ding is goed dat Islam uitgelig word vir wat dit is. Maar die ander kant, die manier hoe dit gebeur, en ouens, julle hoef nie ver te kyk. Jy gaan kyk hier op die Kaapse vlakte wat nou aangaan, nou weer met die verkiesing. Dis wetteloosheid. It's the spirit of lawlessness. Now, please go read Thessalonians. Paul names this person the man of lawlessness. As a oh. It's a person, it's an evil spirit. I tell you, it's an evil spirit. And that spirit is rampant in Christ's church. But Christ, you know, he's cleansing his church of that spirit. Because that spirit does not understand authority. So, let me just explain authority. First, there's sovereign authority. Now, this is for me a moeilike een. Ek het vanoggend met die aanbiddingspan gepraat. God is judging Nathan's nations with earthquakes. And I went, when I see people on the news crying, jy weet, ek het my ma verloor, ek is alleen, my huis is weg, dan is dit vir my moeilik. But now I start questioning God's authority. That's wrong. God's sovereign. And when he judges righteously. Met ander woorde, sy oordeel is regverdig en is vir my net soos om te sien dat daar goeie Christen mense is wat lankal in hulle harte besluit geneem het om 'n ander God te dien. Net soos dit vir my moeilik is om dit te sien, is dit vir my net so moeilik om dit op die televisie ook te sien en dit te verwerk. Maar God is regverdig, julle. En hoekom hy so praat is sy saak. En het raak al meer. En dit ontstel my. Maar nou ek moet gaan sit en sê, Here, U is nog steeds God. Sovereign authority. That's the highest level of authority on this earth. Ek weet nie of julle nou gehoor het, julle oggend toe ons sing het, toe sing ons nou net van dit. En toe Angela hier alleen beginne sing, she's singing about God and His kingdom and you alone. Dis wie God is. Tweedens, then there's truth. The authority of truth, the authority of scripture. Ander woorde, die waarheid van skrif en die verhouding wat ons met skrif moet het, omdat ons verhouding met soewereine God het. En so baie keer kry jy nie die antwoord vir jou vraag in skrif nie, maar jy kry die antwoord op jou vraag van soewereine God af, wanneer hy met jou stem, met hy stemmiekie in jou oor praat. Het dit dan met julle gebeur? Jy soek nou antwoord vir die ding, maar jy kry nie die antwoord in die Bybel nie. Maar nou weet jy nie, die Here sê ek moet dit doen. That's the relationship that Jesus is talking about, that intimacy. But when it comes to truth, veracity, en dis is wat ons mense leer by F3. So van julle regtig, ons help vir mense deur hierdie proses by fondasie 3. Maar skrif, soveel Christene wat nie die autoriteit van skrif verstaan nie. Skrif sê een ding, as hulle nee, ek sê ander ding. As jy is nie, maar kom ons kyk goed hier, wat 'n brille kyk hier, dis wat God van ons verwag. Nee, jy weet, en so jals as dit is, nee, ek wil nie vergewe nie. Christene, wil nie, ek wil nie. Sê ek jy sê, maar ouwens, dis nie asof Jesus het optioneel gemaakt het. As jy nou vergewe nie, en jy vergewe om verlede jaar, dan kry jy net 'n kar. Maar as jy hom nou vergewe, dan kry jy huis. Dis mos die lewe waarin ons lewe, nee. But wait, that's not all. God is not, but wait, there's not all. Forgive the man. En dis die emosie nie. Dis die ding wat jy moet spreek en sê, Here, ek vergewe die persoon. En jy werk aan gereeld. Then there's moral authority, the conscience. Met ander woorde, as hy nou klomp moslims beginne gered raak, ne? Dan kan jy ons nou nie vark maak nie, in jou huisie. Want in hulle gewete, hulle is nog nie daar nie. So die autoriteit van jou gewete, wat God daar vir jou geplaas het, gaan vir jou sê, nee, gaan koop halal chops, by die moslimslaghuis, of by Pick n Pay. Eer vir hulle vir waar hulle nou is, jy gaan jou drank toesluit. Alkoholis in die familie, hy kom kuier, ons drink witwinkies, so sit ons witwinkies weg, vir sy gewete se onthalwe. Jy kan ons jy broer laat val, oor jy nou die vrymoedigheid het om te doen wat jy wil doen nie, is jy met my, die autoriteit van jou gewete, wat God daar op jou geplaas het. Die ander interessante een wat ek ook nou geleer het is, die manier hoe moslims voel oor hulle Koran, die Bybel, dis vir hulle heilig. So ons gaan nie hy wat ons spreek met die Bybel in die hand, Jesus naam, hy gaan jou soek, en gaat hy denk, Jesus, kijk, wat maak die jou met die heilige boek? Maar sy gewete is nog nie, dan, jy kan mos nie dit aan hom doen nie, is jy met my? Ander woorde, Paulus sê nie, dood eenvoudig, luister, as jou broer kan laat val, moet het nie doen nie. As die ding jou broer kan laat val, moet het nie doen nie, moet het liefst nie doen nie. Then we come to functional authority. Dis nou as prakties raak. Dis nou my broer en sy vrou, nee. Maar hy maak goed kos. So raai, wie maak by hulle die kos in die huis? Ek ben, sy maak ook, sy is ook goed, nee, sy kan. Maar nou, hy maak meer. By Tinus en Talita, hulle, raai wie hou van braai. Talita, ek is nou prakties. Met ander woorde, die een wat die ding die praktiesste kan doen en die beste aan is, doen het. So as het by funksionele autoriteit kom, as Tania die boeke doen van die huis, dan moet Marcel maar liefst net die patiënte sien. As hy nie kan die boeke doen nie. Dit is nou eenvoudig. Jy kan ons nou nie tromme gaan speel as Geraldo die tromme kan speel. En as Geraldo vir my sê, daar is iets stikkend daar, dan moet ek na die autoriteit van die funksie wat hy het, moes nou verstaan, ek moet het moes nou so verstaan. Ek ken mos nou nie van tromme en die velle nie, ek het so bietjie kennis, maar hy is die autoriteit op tromme. Ek kan vir hom sê van hy te hard speel, ja. Want ons allemaal kan dit hoor. Dit is een inside joke. Julle sal hom nie vang, maar ons weet nou. Is julle met my? Funksionele autoriteit. Wanneer die Heilige Gees oor Angela kom en sy begin te sing, julle, ek weet hoe julle gesien het, ek wys vir David hand syne nie, daar wys ek vir David sagter, speel sagter, want ek kan sien die Here werk nou deur haar, en ek moet gehoorsaam wees. Ek kan nie oor ek nou my preekie wil afsteek, nou moet sy stil bly nie, want ek het nou 'n preekie wat ek julle week aangewerk het nie. As ek my mond moet hou, en die Here wil deur hulle werk, dan hou ek my mond, en dit het al gebeur, dan preek ek nie, dan staan ek terug. Dis is hulle met my. Die funksionaliteit, daarna kom offisiële autoriteit. Nou sê ek, is die pa van die huis. Sien hy, as jy nou getrouwd is, nou sê ek papa. Met ander woorde, as God vir papa sê, ons gaan nou by die voorbeeld kom, then we come to custom, tradition. As ons kyk na die kerk in Korintiërs, ne, daar het 'n klomp prostituite tot bekering gekom. Maar die prostituite het in hulle tempels gode aanbid en hulle het hulle koppe kaal geskeer. Toe besluit die leierskap van die kerk in Korintië, dames moenie hulle hare sny nie en dames moet hoed dra. Want as die klomp dames met die kaalkoppe nou aanbid het en mense loop verby die kerk, het hulle gedink, ooh, wat gaan hier aan? Die prostituties in die kerk. Toe sê Paulus vir hulle, nee, dra liewes hoedens. Nou dit is 'n besluit wat kerkleierskap besluit, it's a custom, it's a tradition. Then you honor that custom. Maar dis jy allemaal moet hoed dra nie. Dit was nog nooit die doelie. En van hy hoedens, joh. As jy te vliegtuig het spring, dan kan jy tot in Amerika float. Soos hy ran. Dis, jylle ken hy hoedens, ne? Sorry, jylle, ek distract myself. Maar ek sien nou hy mooi blauw rand hoede, hoe jy so float Amerika toe, tot binnen aan 'n kerk. Sorry, jylle, ek. Maar verstaan julle wat ek probeer sê? The authority of custom. Shofar het besluit, ons gaan nie drank bedien as nagmaalie. Want ons weet nooit wanneer hier broer kan sit wat alkoholist is en nou het hy sy ou brand sherrykie, nou val hy nie. So as 'n tradisie het ons besluit, hier gebruik ons rooi druiwesap. Maar nou kerk is split. Want julle het sikke, ons wil het sikke glaasie sê, nee, ons moet sikke glaasie. Nee, ons moet een glaasie, dan moet hy afvee en een glaasie. Nou, oor sikke nonsens strei mense, but they don't understand the authority of custom. So, prakties, in die huis. God sê vir papa, daar word geen TV die week gekykie. Guess what? If God says so, then we don't watch TV. We don't watch television. En so nou wil Karlaatjie weet, maar hoekom kan ons die TV kykie? God said so. And we in this house, we do what God says, because God is the final authority. And God has spoken to me, Dad. Nou is daar so iets in die Bybel? Nee, you won't find it in scripture, but God has talked to me. In my heart. En ons allemaal moet het respecteer, want God praat nou. En as hoof van die huis voel ek so. Is dit met my? Maar nou die ander kant is ook waar, ons sit op etenstafel, of Tinus en Talita, of wie ook al nou sit op etenstafel, julle toe nou sê, jy weet, Tannie Magrita, nou sê, Wani, ek voel die Here sê, ons moet vas vir 'n saak van die huis. If it's of God, then we must listen. Then he is in the function of a prophet. Die Here gee my woord van, kyk, maar nou moet ek het net opte, ek sê, nee, dit is van die Here, dit is die vlees uit die, daar sê ek, nee, Elmarie, Carla voel dat ons 7 keer om die huis moet stap en bid. Jy weet, dis nou wat gebeur het by om Lovelle en hulle. Louwen sê hulle moet gaan bid. Nou is allemaal opgewonde. Nou sê Louwen vir hulle wanne. 2:00 die oggend. Nou wil allemaal eens, tweer, ons moet toch leer. Maar nou is die Heere gesê, tweer, daar respecteer ons wat die Heere dier Louwens sê. Sê sê hulle met my. Je weet, of my meisie kind voel dat in haar gewete is dit net die regie, then we're not going to make a stumble. It's just a sensitivity when it comes to authority. But if you don't have an understanding of authority, you're lawless. Sê sê hulle met my vanochtend, there's a lawlessness. Ek moet dan net veel, my meisie kind, met die wat ons nou vir is, baie keer dokter te vat, nou kry sy ons nou in antibiotikas. Jesus, man, ek weet nie, dit het seker nou van lang gepla. Toe is dit nou wanneer, Vrydag, toe vraag sy nou vir my, papa, sê jy net gauw vir my, wie is antibiotika? Ek sê, nee, dis nie soos a anti, dis medikasie, want sy wil dit, wie is antibiotika, want is anti, dis is seker tani, sy is van, nee, my kind, dis nie iemand, die. Dis maar net medikasie. Vervang jy om, ek sê, verwerk het seker nog. But this is on the side. Guys, I really want us to consider what God is saying in these last days. There's three other characteristics that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 23, 24. He says that Christians will be offended, then they will betray each other, hulle sal rugstekers wees, and they will hate one another. Now, can you believe that good Jesus is saying that about his church? Soos die tyd aangaan, sal ek hoor praat. But guys, this is something that we need to get right. We need to align ourselves with what God is saying now prophetically for his church. And so I'm a moral custodian. And I'll speak if God gives me the permission to speak. And I must say, sometimes I must ask God, God, does my wat ek wil doen, het dit meriete? Want ek moet ook vir die Here gaan, van Here, oor dit wat u wil hê vir oggend, moet ek hier sê, does it have merits? Or am I doing it out of hurt, so out of anger? And so dan moet ek lang by die, God says, no, it's not out of anger, it's something that I want you to say, say it. And then I come and then I said, so what I'm saying and sharing this morning is not out of hatred, it's not out of anger. I'm just bringing a message to God's people. And I was talking to Wani the other day and I told Wani, if you want to be sure that what I'm saying is truth, judge me by my fruit. Jesus sê, jy gaan jou boom en sy vrugte ken. So kyk na die vrugte van my lewe. Kyk hoe praat ek met my ouers. Kyk of ek my ouers respecteer. Kyk hoe praat ek met ouer mense in die gemeente. Kyk hoe hanteer ek my vrou. Kyk of ek lelik is met my vrou as voor ander mense. Kyk hoe hanteer ek my kinders. Judge me by my fruit. Kyk of ek een ding sê, hier, en een ander ding gaat doen na buiten. And so it's a challenge that God is just laying before his whole church and say, guys, I want you to get with this. So can we stand? Today, I'm going to make no altar call. I'm just going to pray something. And then David and the band, what are we going to sing? Overcome. As jy reg waar nie, jy kan slang overcome opsit. It's precious times. So nou doe kyk homself in die spieel. Hy het aansoek gedoen by Debonairs vir 'n werkie. Oudtaakie. Dis 'n grapie. Hy weet. En ek is regtig trots op die span, want die span sit regtig baie in terme van bid vir die gemeente. Julle sal nie besef hoe baie hulle bid, jy hoor. Hulle oefen minder as wat hulle, ek is ernstig. Die verantwoordelikheid lê nou by elke spanlid om by die huis te oefen. As hulle hier op 'n donderdag kom, oefen hulle miskien net 'n nuwe liedjie of nog 'n liedjie, maar meeste van die tye bid hulle. They praying. They the gatekeepers. Ons het altyd gedink die ushers is die gatekeepers. The ushers is not the gatekeepers. In Old Testament context when it came to worship, the band members, they were the gatekeepers. And David's band was 3000 sterk. Hulle het vir jou rooster gehad, jong. 'N Prys en aanbiddings rooster. Hulle is, hoeveel is julle nou, David? So 12, 15? 15. David, hulle was 3000. En die teenwoordigheid van die Here was so kragtig en magtig, dat baie keer kon die band members is worship in David se daad. Hulle het gaan neerval. Van God se glorie het gesak. Guys, I can tell you, when it comes to zeal and to religiousness, the Apostle Paul is for me the best example that God can turn a hard heart around. Paulus was op pad om nog mense van die kerk vrek te maak. Toe die lig om van die perd afgooi, of die donkie, wat was dit, 'n kameel? Nou kom ons maak dit dan interessant, Jeep Cherokee. Toe val hy af, want niemand kan ook nou vir my sê waarby gery het hy. Die feit van die saak is, God kan jou ontmoet net daar waar jy is, en hy kan dinge vir jou draai. He can. Jesus says, repent and be zealous for my house. But then he also says, come back to your first love. Father, touch our mouths. Sanctify our lips. Dad, cleanse your church. Maak skoon die kerk. God, you judge righteously. U oordeel regverdig. Ons wil gehoorsaam wees aan u. Ons wil gehoorsaam wees aan u gesag, binne die kerk, buite die kerk, in die huis, in regering. Here, dis hy dagende dag. Maar ons wil nie moeg raak nie. Ons wil aanhou om te doen dit wat u van ons verwag. En vandag wil ons net sing vir oorwinning, vir 'n kerk, 'n bruid wat geen krekels gaan het nie. 'N Pragtige wit rok. U kom vir ons haal. In 'n oogwink gaan dit gebeur. God, we don't want to be denied. We don't want to be disowned. But we know that you are gracious because you are giving all of us enough time until that day. Daar is genoeg tyd. God, if we are in denial about the things that we're saying, we repent of it. You're sovereign. You're sovereign, Here. Here, thank you that we can go and see and not the time can go and geniet. With friends and family. Here, and for every gezin that travel, you bescherm for them, Here. Bewaar for them and let them lekker vakantie of family tyd. En Here, daar was hier oor hierdie paasnaweek en die familietyd net lekker gaan brood breek. Net gaan stil sit en brood breek, Here. Dis so fantasties, Here. In Jesus naam. Amen. Ons gaan een liedjie sing. En daar sal David sommer vir ons afsluit. En kry vir julle koffietjie. As daar enig iemand is wat wil hê ek moet vir hulle bid na die Here kan na my toe kom. Baie dankie dat julle gekom het. Ons waardeer dit. Tieners, hulle is lekker om julle te sien. Talita, just like. Naimeri, sopa gemak hier om dik story sê. Shamas Tanya, goed om julle te sien. Dan die des vir jou ook. Yes, is goed om julle allemaal te sien. En ons sissie wat studeer aan Tygerberg. Het daar enige spoedkaartjies al huis toe gekom om Lovelle? Nog niks. Och, ons is trots op jou. Hou by 100 in die Kaap. Die Genos is bly vir jou span wat gewen het, die haie. Die bulle is 'n vervaldatum. Die bulle is 'n vervaldatum. Dis is ou kos nie, Sinti, ons moet dit weggooi. Moenie nou vir Angelus distract jy. Sy moet nou in die Here se teenwoordigheid bly, asseblief. Guys, I really want to thank you. There's really a freedom here just to worship God. Anbid hom. Anbid hom. Anbid hom. Amen.